Today on Marianne McPartland's Piano Jazz, we remember pianist, composer, and arranger Gerald Wiggins. He passed away in the summer of 2008. Wiggins was an extraordinary and versatile pianist and in-demand sideman for everyone from Louis Armstrong to Lena Horne. He was Marianne's guest on this Piano Jazz program in the spring of 1992.
I've been looking forward to this for a long time.
So have I.
And I've been listening to your Maybeck Hall solo album. It's really nice.
Thank you.
Isn't that a great hall to play in?
It was wonderful, yes. Good piano, good acoustics, everything is wonderful there.
Good crowd.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I know you live out here now in California, but originally you're from New York.
Mm-hmm. Born and raised there.
Where?
Harlem. Well, 4 West 129th Street.
Oh, my goodness. Well, that was, I mean, Harlem was such an interesting place. It's the place you always think of when you think of great jazz musicians and great players and some of the terrific clubs. Where did you actually start playing? I mean, with your family? Did you play at home?
My mother made sure I took lessons, and she had me playing classics till they were running out of my ears.
Oh, really?
But by the time I got old enough to go to work, I found that there was no place for me in classics at that particular time. So I just gravitated to jazz.
You mean just like that, you just heard something you liked? And
no, I went to the High School of Music and Art, and Benny Goodman and Teddy Wilson used to come up like on Fridays and give little mini concerts. And that's when I fell in love with Teddy Wilson.
Oh, my God, I fell in love with Teddy Wilson 2 years ago, before I ever came over here in England, listening to those Benny Goodman trios and quartets. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I'd take a record and sit down and try to play some of those things Teddy.
I know. Well, that lasted until a cousin of mine brought me a couple of records of Art Tatum. Then out the window went Teddy, because I couldn't believe that one man was doing all this on the piano. And I didn't rest till I got a chance to meet Art. Well, that was a high point of my life, I guess.
Before we go on, I'd love to hear you play something.
So, all right.
What do you think? What's coming up?
This old tune I remember from years ago called If It's the Last Thing I Do.
If It's the Last Thing I Do. Great. Okay.
All right. Okay, here we go.
That's one of the real good ones that somehow gets forgotten, you know.
Well, it gets lost in the shuffle.
But, well, how do you pick tunes? I mean, do you sort of look through old sheet music or just go in your head?
Just in my head most of the time. I don't remember to them. When they come up in my head, I say, okay, I'll try that one for a while.
It's funny, I learned millions of tunes hearing bands on the BBC. How did you learn things? Just by ear?
No, I'd go to the store and look at the sheet music and try to memorize it and run home right quick.
And then you walk out?
It. Yes.
You know, I've done that a few times. In fact, sometimes I browse through a store because I can't think of any tunes to play.
Mm-hmm.
You see all these things, thinking, gee, why didn't I think of that one? But that is a real good one.
Yeah.
But you've done so many different things. Didn't I meet you at the Cookery years ago?
Oh, yes. Working with Helen Hughes.
I was trying to think where we met, and I think
that's right, probably with Helen. Mm-hmm.
With Helen, because, I mean, you're just a wonderful accompanist. You've accompanied.
Thank you so much.
Well, I mean, I've heard you doing it with different singers, but especially Helen. I mean, when you started, did you go right into that, or did you play with bands or groups? What did you do?
Oh, I played with quite a few groups. I worked with Benny Carter's band most of the time. And around New York, in fact, one of my first jobs was with the DeParis brothers at Ryan's.
Oh, no kidding. I guess it makes me kind of proud to think that I did work with those guys. Mm-hmm. And they were terrific musicians, weren't they?
Oh, they were great. I was still in high school at the time. I wasn't supposed to be working, but I worked anyhow. I took a shot at it.
I remember that club so well, Jimmy Ryan's. It's a shame. Some of these good places, we'll never know places like those again. They mm-hmm. were just so wonderful.
Yeah, that's when New York was a great town then.
Yeah. Boy, thinking about it. Well, it would be nice to hear another solo. Edie is a Sweetie, is that one of yours?
Yes, there's a little story behind that.
Oh, really?
I was working in Paris with Helen Humes, his promoter. I was getting married, and his girlfriend was named Edie. So on the spur of the moment at the session, I made up this little tune, and they seemed to like it, everything. And when I got back to Europe a year later, they'd been divorced. I couldn't believe it.
Oh, my God. See, that'll teach you to write a tune for
something. That's right. In fact, that's what he told me. Don't write any more tunes, Wig.
It's funny. I used to have so many people that were going together, coming in the Hickory House. Remember that place?
Oh, yes, of course.
And it seems that all the people that were the courting couples that were coming in there, as far as I know, they were all stayed married. I see so many people that would say to me, oh, I was going with my husband at the Hickory, when I heard you at the Hickory House, and, like 40 years later, mm-hmm. they're still married. I said, all my Hickory House couples are still married.
That's good.
Including Steve Allen and
yes.
Jane. Well, after babbling away about this tune, I would love to hear it.
Okay,
Edie why not? Is a Sweetie.
Okay.
That's really nice. Now, you should have written a sequel after that. Edie's not my sweetie anymore.
I thought about that, but I thought I'd better leave well enough alone.
Oh, that is really nice. I saw, Jerry, somewhere in, I was reading about you, that you worked with or wrote for or rehearsed with Marilyn Monroe.
Oh, yeah, that was a fun job. Actually, I got hired by the choreographer, Jack Cole. A friend of mine, Jackie Mills, was a drummer on this, working for Jack Cole. And Jackie and I went to high school together in New York, music and art.
I remember Jackie Mills.
Jackie and I stayed in touch through the years. So when I got to L.A., he got me this job with Jack Cole as rehearsal piano player. And one of the perks of the job was coaching Marilyn Monroe. Well, I enjoyed that.
Well, that was some perks.
Yes, it was. Plus, well, I got paid for it also.
Tell me about her. I mean, did you get to talk to her? And
oh, yeah,
spend time
just
with
about
her?
Every day, yeah. And in fact, I spent more time with anybody else, teaching her the tunes and everything. She was fabulous. Wonderful person to work with.
I bet she was.
She was.
Were you teaching her the tunes to sing?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And was she a quick study? Could she learn easily?
Well, she worked hard at it. She didn't have probably the greatest voice, but when she finished doing the tune, it makes you sit and take notice.
Well, she certainly had a nice teacher, that's for sure. She certainly had a nice teacher.
Oh, well, thank you.
Well, now, you did this with lots of people. Didn't you also play for Lena Horne among
us? Yeah, that was my second big job, I think. My first big job was working with Stephen Fetchett, of all people.
Oh, really?
That came about, I was working with Stephen Fetchett. In fact, Art Tatum got me the job with Stephen Fetchett. I used to go to a joint called Rubens in Harlem. I don't know if you know about it. It was a little after-hour place.
Yeah, I just heard people talk about it.
And that's where I met Art and Ruben. And when Stephen Fetchett needed a piano player, they recommended me.
You know, I'm trying to think. I should know what Stephen Fetchett, were they like comedians?
Comedian, yes.
And did they dance?
No. He just did a stand-up act, comedy.
Okay. I mean, I've heard of them. I've probably even seen them on old movies, but for the moment, I couldn't think what they did.
Yeah, well, he's that slow-moving comic. Anyhow, we were working at the Brooklyn Strand, and Les Height had was back in the band. It was a West Coast band, and they were back in the show, and the Army took Les Height's piano player, and the police took Stephen Fetchett off the stage. So Les said to me, you don't have a boss, I don't have a piano player, how'd you like to go to California? So I came to California. And that's when I hooked up with Jackie again, and that's when I got the job working for Marilyn Monroe.
Well, did you stay in California from then on?
I was back and forth, I hadn't settled yet, but a few years later I decided the weather was so great. In fact, the day I got to California was Christmas Day and 100 degrees, and I loved it because I knew it was in New York at that time.
Well, at some period there, the Army came and got you too, didn't they?
Yes, they got me in 1944. I'd been working at Orpheum with Benny Carter, and as a rule, we'd leave town right after a job, but this time we went to Billy Berg Spring Swing Club, and as I got to work that night, there were my greetings.
Oh, boy.
Which wasn't too bad, but I got in the service, and a few days later, here comes Benny Carter, Nat King Cole, and Savannah Churchill doing a show for the Army, and I'm in Army fatigues, and I almost cried my heart out.
Oh, I can imagine, and you should have been in the show. And
yeah, I was supposed to do the tour with him.
Benny Carter's a fabulous guy.
Oh, he is that, yes. Benny has been very helpful to me you know, all through my career, and I owe him a lot.
Boy, he's a great man. Well, how about us doing a duet? What do you think?
That sounds wonderful. What do we do?
You want to try Gone with the Wind?
All right.
Yeah.
To hear the full Piano Jazz broadcast, tune in next week to your NPR station or stream the program online at pianojazz.npr.org. Piano Jazz is a production of South Carolina Public Radio.